Welcome to Morning Manna, November the 21st, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We thank you for the word that you have given us day by day. We recognize the blessing that you pour out upon us, and we recognize that your love for us stands unmoved. As we come today, we ask that you would continue to show us the path that we would have us follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject for today is sanctification. Sanctification. And we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, going through to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. So we're going from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, through 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. The subject again, sanctification. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath not suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then verse 22 says, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 505, beginning at paragraph 2, says this. Eternal things have little weight with the youth. Angels of God are in tears as they write in the roll of the words and acts of professed Christians. Angels are hovering around yonder dwelling. The young are there assembled. There is the sound of vocal and instrumental music. Christians are gathered there, but what is that you hear? It is a song, a frivolous ditty, fit for the dance hall. Behold, the pure angels gather their light closer around them, and darkness envelops those in that dwelling. The angels are moved from the scene. Sadness is upon their countenances. Behold, they are weeping. This I saw repeated a number of times, all through the ranks of Sabbath keepers, and especially in some places. Music has occupied the hours which should have been devoted to prayer. Music is the idol which many professed Sabbath keepers worship. Satan has no objection to music if he can make it a channel through which to gain access to the minds of the youth. Anything will suit his purpose that will divert the mind from God and engage the time which should be devoted to God's service. He works through the means which will exert the strongest influence to hold the largest numbers in a pleasing infatuation while they are paralyzed by his power. When turned to good account, music is a blessing, but it is often made one of Satan's most attractive agencies to ensnare souls. When abused, it leads the unconsecrated to pride, vanity, and folly. when allowed to take the place of devotion and prayer, it is a terrible curse. Young persons assemble to sing, and although professed Christians frequently dishonor God and their faith by their frivolous conversation and their choice of music. Sacred music is not congenial to their tastes. I was directed to the plain teaching of God's word, which have been passed by unnoticed. In the judgment, all these words of inspiration will condemn those who have not heeded them. The Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Peter writes to the church, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The inspired Paul directs Titus to give special instruction to the church of Christ, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peter exalts the churches to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Again he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be you, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Are the youth in a position where they can with meekness and fear give an answer to every man that asketh reason of their hope? I saw that the youth greatly fail to understand our position. Terrible scenes are just before them. A terrible time of trouble will test the value of their character. Those who have the truth abiding in them will then be developed. Those who have shunned the cross, neglected the word of life, and paid adoration to their own poor selves will be found wanting. They are ensnared by Satan and will learn too late that they have made a terrible mistake. The pleasures they have sought after prove bitter in the end. Said the angel, sacrifice all for God. Self must die. The natural desires and propensities of the unrenewed heart must be subdued. Flee to the neglected Bible. The words of inspiration are spoken to you. Pass them not lightly by. You will meet every word again to render an account whether you have been a doer of the work, shaping your life according to the holy teachings of God's word. Holiness of heart and life are necessary. All who have taken the name of Christ and have enlisted in his service should be good soldiers of the cross. They should show that they are dead to the world and that their life is hid with Christ in God. Paul writes to his Colossian brethren as follows. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. To the Ephesians he writes, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is glorified by songs of praise from a pure heart filled with love and devotion to him. When consecrated believers assemble, the conversation will not be upon the imperfections of others, or savor, or murmuring, or complaint, charity, or love, the bond of perfectness. These qualities will then encircle them, rather than concentrating on the imperfection of others. Love to God and his fellow man flows out naturally in words of affection, in words of sympathy, and esteem for their brethren. The peace of God rules in their hearts. Their words are not vain, empty, and frivolous, but to the comfort and edification of one another. If Christians will obey the instructions given to them by Christ and his inspired apostles, they will adorn the religion of the Bible and save themselves severe trials and much perplexity, which they attribute to their afflictions in consequence of believing unpopular truth. This is a sad mistake. Very many of their trials are of their own creating, because they depart from the word of God. They yield to the world, place themselves upon the enemy's battlefield, and tempt the devil to tempt them. Those who adhere strictly to the admonition and instruction of God's word, prayerfully seeking to know and do righteous, will feel not the petty grievance daily occurring in the world. The gratitude which they feel, and the peace of God ruling within, causes them to make melody in their hearts unto the Lord, and by words to make mention of the debt of love and thankfulness due to the dear Savior. This Savior so loved them as to die that they might have life. No one has an indwelling Savior by accident. No one who has an indwelling Savior will dishonor him before others by producing strains from a musical instrument which will call the mind from God and heaven to light and trifling things. The young are required in whatsoever they do, in word or deed, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I saw that but few of the youth understand what it is to be Christians, to be Christ-like. They will have to learn the truths of God's word before they can conform their lives to the pattern. There is not one young person in 20 who has experienced in his life that separation from the world which the Lord requires of us, all of us, who would become members of his family, children of the heavenly King. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What a promise is here made upon condition of obedience. Do you have to cut loose from friends and relatives in deciding to obey the elevated truths of God's word? Take courage. God has made provision for you. His arms are open to receive you. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean, and he shall receive you. He promises to be a father unto you. Oh, what a relationship is this! Higher and holier than any earthly tie. If you make the sacrifice, if you do that which he calls you to do, if you have to forsake father and mother, sister, brother, wife, and children for Christ's sake, you will not be friendless. God adopts you into his family. You become members of the royal household, sons and daughters of the King who rules in the heavens of heaven. Can you desire a more exalted position than is here promised? Is not this enough? Said the angel, what could God do for the children of men more than he has already done? If such love, such exalted promises are not appreciated, could he devise anything higher, anything richer, and more lofty? All that God could do has been done for the salvation of man, and yet the hearts of the children of men have become hardened because of the multiplicity of the blessings with which God has surrounded them. They receive them as common things and forget their gracious benefactor. I saw that Satan is a vigilant foe, intent upon his purpose of leading the youth to a course of action entirely contrary to that which God would approve. He well knows that there is no other class that can do as much good as young men and young women who are consecrated to God. The youth, if right, could sway a mighty influence. Preachers or laymen advanced in years cannot have one half the influence upon the young that the youth devoted to God could have upon their associates. They ought to feel a responsibility that rests upon them to do all they can to save their fellow mortals, even at a sacrifice of their own pleasure and natural desires. Time and even means, if required, should be consecrated to God. All who profess godliness should feel the danger of those who are out of Christ. Soon their probation will close. Those who might have exerted an influence to save souls, had they stood in the counsel of God, yet failed to do their duty through selfishness, indolence, or because they were ashamed of the cross of Christ, will not only lose their own souls, but will have the blood of poor sinners upon their garments. Such will be required to render an account for the good that they could have done had they been consecrated to God, but did not do because of their unfaithfulness. Those who have really tasted the sweets of redeeming love will not, cannot rest until all with whom they associate are made acquainted with the plan of salvation. The young should inquire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How can I honor and glorify thy name upon the earth? Souls are perishing all around us. And yet, what burden do the youth bear to win souls for Christ? Those who attend school could have an influence for the Savior. But who name the name of Christ? And who are seen pleading with tender earnestness with their companions to forsake the ways of sin and choose the path of holiness? I was shown that this is a course which the believing young should take, but they do not. It is more congenial to their feelings to unite with the sinner in sport and pleasure. The young have a wide sphere of usefulness, but they see it not. Oh, that they would now exert their power of mind in seeking ways to approach perishing sinners, that they might make known to them the path of holiness, and by prayer and entreaty win even one soul to Christ. What a noble enterprise. One soul to praise God through eternity. One soul to enjoy happiness and everlasting life. One gem in their crown to shine as a star forever and ever. But even more than one can be brought to turn from error to truth, from sin to holiness. Says the Lord by the prophet, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Then those who engage with Christ and angels in the work of saving perishing souls are richly rewarded in the kingdom of heaven. I saw that many souls might be saved if the young were where they ought to be, devoted to God and to the truth. But they generally occupy a position where constant labor must be bestowed upon them, or they will become of the world themselves. They are a source of constant anxiety and heartache. Tears flow on their account, and agonizing prayers are wrung from the hearts of parents in their behalf. Yet they move on, reckless of the pain which their course of action causes. They plant thorns in the breasts of those who would die to save them, and have them become what God designed they should through the merit of the blood of Christ be. The youth exercise their ability to execute this or that nice piece of art, but do not feel that God requires them to turn their talents to a better account, that by adorning their profession and seeking to save souls for whom Christ died. One such soul saved is of more value than worlds. Gold and earthly treasure can bear no comparison to the salvation of even one poor soul. Today God is calling you, calling us all, especially calling the youth, to stand for Him, to be a powerful witness for Him, to allow our lives in every area to speak of who Christ is by our example. Will you make that commitment today? Will you allow Him to guide you steadfastly, continually? Will you do that? We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You continue to call us, that You continue to show us what we can do, what we have a privilege to accomplish. We ask, Lord, that You would fill us with truth and understanding, that we might pass on that understanding and truth to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, November the 21st, 2020.